And let's get some of your thoughts in here.
Goodbye, Mama, and goodbye to you too, Pa. Little sister, you'll have to wait a while to come along.
Last week, we spoke with singer Tom Rush about his iconic recording of Murray McLaughlin's Child Song, about a young person leaving home. David Naylor writes, "How have I never heard this song? It was custom designed for me. My daughter marries on Friday, a marriage I'm not ready to bless. I heard her voice singing to me, bringing some comfort and strength to let her go. Thanks for the raw bravery in sharing this on the program." A comment from Judy Cloper, "Back in 1972, I left the words to this song on my dresser, right where I knew my mom would find them after I was gone. Just hearing Tom sing this brought tears to my eyes as I remember the look of both sadness and pride on her face and watch my own child, 4th out of 5, head out for a life of opportunity and adventure. Thank you." Well, our pleasure. Now, a quick correction. This week I tossed out a poetic reference, points for that, but "For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these it might have been" is not Wordsworth, as I said. It's John Greenleaf Whittier. Thank you, Priscilla Billayers. And we had a huge response to our story on Adam Monsbach's upcoming children's book for adults, Go the Blank to Sleep, in which parents really say what they feel about the blind fatigue of trying to get little ones to bed. Holly writes, "You can't run this without giving a nod to Australian singer and comic Tim Minchin's Lullaby. As a mother of 4, 8, 9, 10, and 11, I felt all of these things and then some."
Your blankets hand-knitted with pure Angora wool. Your nappy is dry and your tummy is full of enough antihistamine to chill out a bull. Yet still all this cringing.
It gets worse from there, trust us, but while we're in the realm of potty talk, let's keep going with a deeper look at listener response to Farmer Gene Logsdon's book, Holy Yes Rhymes with Hit, a scholarly take on using manure to replenish soil. Now, Gene is talking largely about animal waste, but he also says human waste should be recycled as fertilizer, the way it was in ancient China, where human waste was treated like gold for its nutrients. Many of you said, wait, that's dangerous. Murray McBride is professor of soil chemistry and director of the Waste Management Institute at Cornell. Professor, your first thoughts on this?
It's not like ancient China, first of all, because of industry and commerce and because of all of the chemicals we use in our lives, in our homes, we end up with a very complex mixture of waste product that comes out of a wastewater treatment plant, that is, sewage sludge.
And we heard from many of our listeners that sludge is different from waste. Dr. Carolyn Snyder wrote in to say every month, every industry, hospital, business, institution is permitted to discharge 33 pounds of hazardous waste into these sewage treatment plants, where these pollutants can often get concentrated in the resulting sludge. But on the other hand, we had a comment from TZ that in the city of Milwaukee, there's been a solid water district for years that's marketed sewage sludge into commercial lawn and garden fertilizer called, how do you pronounce it, Milorganite?
Yes. I'm sure it's got a lot of micropollutants in it if anyone were to test it. So, yes, people are using that, I guess, on their gardens. It's not a product I would buy.
You doubt what, that they've been able to get some of these pollutants out?
I know they can't get all of those pollutants out. I believe that material has been heat sterilized, so at least the disease pathogens have been dealt with. But the heat sterilization does not get rid of fire retardants, pharmaceutical chemicals, steroids, plasticizers, and so on that are known to be in pretty much all sludges.
Well, so where are we on this?
Well, where we are is, I mean, there's been this battle going on for at least since the 503 rule came out, the EPA came out with the 503 rule in, 92 or 93, and promised that there would be a lot of research done on these other pollutants that they did not regulate at the time. That really hasn't happened. There's been a little bit of research, but the number of chemicals that you would have to research in soil coming from sewage sludge is enormous. I mean, it's thousands of chemicals, and we don't know the fate of most of them.
We also heard from Dave Cole, a farmer in South Carolina. You mentioned pathogens, and he says aging human waste to turn it into manure doesn't eliminate, for instance, radioisotopes from cancer patients. Is that accurate?
That's true. Depending on how many hospitals are dumping their waste into a given city's treatment plant, that could be an issue. the other source now of radiation might actually be from in our part of the world here. They're doing hydrofracking.
Well, we've done lots of stories on this. Hydrofracking means breaking open the underground rock to find natural gas.
So that fluid has been shown, at least from the Marcellus Shale formation, to contain radiation. That waste in some parts of, at least in Pennsylvania and perhaps even in New York State, may be going to wastewater treatment plants. And then, of course, again, we're putting radiation back into sewage sludge where it concentrates and then in some cases evidently has been put out on farmland.
So as Dave Cole, our farmer, writes, when it's put out on farmland, cows may be eating that, maybe going into milk?
It's possible. The element radium, which is in this fracking fluid, could potentially be taken up by plants, or the cattle could ingest it directly from the soil.
So, Professor McBride, is there anywhere that you see that anyone is able to take human waste that doesn't also contain industrial waste and turn it into something useful? Are you not seeing that happen anywhere yet?
I have not seen a way to engineer this to, for example, extract the micropollutant organic chemicals. The metals aren't as big of a problem as they were 20, 30 years ago, although there are some metals showing up, like silver, which aren't even regulated. So the problem is the sludges are so unpredictable and so different from city to city that it's a moving target in terms of doing any engineering. Maybe the best thing that could be done is to turn the sludge into energy. And in fact, there are some pilot plant scale studies looking at conversion of human waste into energy. And it may be possible to extract the nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, which really are the main, drivers for using these on farms in the first place.
But you're saying it's not quite there yet.
I would say it's not quite there yet.
Okay. That's Murray McBride, professor of soil chemistry and director of the Waste Management Institute at Cornell University. If somebody has picked up that bag of malorganite from the city of Milwaukee, which again is turning sewage sludge into this commercial lawn and garden fertilizer, let's say they have already put it on their lawn or maybe a garden that they don't plan to eat from, are they okay?
Oh, yeah, I think they're okay. It's just the problem is at some later time someone else may put a garden there. So that's a problem.
Professor, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we contacted Jeff Spence from the government agency that produces malorganite from treated sewage for Milwaukee and 27 communities in Wisconsin. He says the product has been in use for 85 years. They work hard to keep harmful substances out with an aggressive monitoring of industries from tanneries to dental offices and a required pretreatment. They also run daily tests, have found only trace amounts of chemicals, and have the closest monitoring by the EPA of any fertilizer in the country. So the debate continues.